Lori Dubose, as we welcome Fairhope City Planning Director Hunter Simmons into the studio with us. Good morning, Hunter.
Good morning, Lori. Welcome. Always great to be here.
Welcome back. It's been a while. We had Eric Cortinas last month, as we have a City of Fairhope department head the first Wednesday of the month, and he talked as the building official, and he explained it where after the planning department approves, and or maybe the city council has to too, then the building department executes to make sure whatever the proposal project is built the way it's supposed to be.
Right. That, I think Eric says it best. We tell them how, where to build it, or where and how it looks, and you know what it is, and they tell them how to build it. So that is it's a great partnership. Neither of us gets to extradite herself from the process throughout completely, but that is the division of authority to make sure that what we approve gets built, and we kind of stay in to make sure setbacks are met, height limits, uses are approved.
If anybody wants to get an idea of exactly what you do, what the planning department does, there's the city council agenda, and let's just say there is a proposal for a neighborhood.
Sure.
On a public hearing on the council agenda. Well, when you go click on the packet or the informational packet, there might be 30 or 40 or 50 pages attached to that one item.
Right.
And that's what y'all are looking at.
That is one of the roles we play. You know, there is also some things don't go all the way to the city council. We have different types of reviews. Some just go to our planning commission. So the planning commission also meets once a month, first Monday of the month typically. And the calendar on the website also has an agenda for them with packets. So there may be 12 items with those 50 pages. We also do mapping within the planning department. It's a lot of the city's GIS mapping. And we also have a board of adjustment that meets once a month for variances, looks at variances to the zoning ordinance. So that's yet another volunteer committee that we kind of coordinate. They also have a calendar with agendas and packets and staff reports.
How is it determined if something has to go to the city council for approval or it doesn't have to go?
Sure. So most of the processes are either documented in our city's Fairhope zoning ordinance or the subdivision regulations. So in general, the first step is annexation and zoning. Zoning is the land use, what is appropriate for that property. We do that, and then it may trigger other things after that, such as a site plan review. Site plan is a little bit more specific than zoning. It's going to look at how does the building look? How are they, even to minor things, like how are they going to collect garbage, you know, drainage, utilities, things like that. There's also another process called a subdivision. Now, this isn't what a lot of people think of when you say subdivision. It's the big sign out front of a neighborhood. That's what we say a subdivision. But a subdivision of land in multiple ways is what the Planning Commission reviews.
As in subdividing.
Subdividing one land into more than one pieces of land. And those subdivisions have their own regulations in the subdivision regulations. Those do not go to the city council. But they are governed by the zoning or the site plans that the city council adopts. So those are the big major ones. There's a lot of kind of minor things through there, but all of those processes are within the zoning ordinance. And then also on a daily basis. So most of the permits that Eric is looking at, the planning department is looking at as well. So if you do addition to your home, if you're building a new home, we look at those for zoning compliance. Is it meeting setback? Is it the right height? Are your fences and walls too tall? Is your garage in the right location? And then Eric gets in, you know, their team gets involved throughout the building process with inspections
to make sure
they stay true to that.
And it's complying.
And it's compliant.
Okay. So would you review for us the moratoriums as far as you can't use our water or you can't
At this point in time,
what do we have going on?
Sure. And it's not a moratorium. So to be clear, we have had some more.
Limitation.
It is actually, there was the city council passed an ordinance for developments in general. If you're doing a new development and you're adjacent to our city limits, meaning you're touching our city limits, and you are going to connect to our water system, you must annex into the city. That provides a few benefits for us. When they annex, it has to get zoning so it can meet our long-range plans of the city of Fairhope. Mm-hmm. Instead of outside the city, some areas are still unzoned. So we get the land use, we're making sure, but also the impact fees that are happen within the city limits when a development happens in Eric's department. Those fees are collected and they go into things that help us manage the growth. They allow us to pave roads that get abused by more people on the streets that the growth brings in, allows us to add certain vehicles, I think, with the police department. There's certain limitations on how you can use those impact fees, but it is to manage the growth that those developments bring.
Right.
Park lands, we can purchase recreational fields and park lands for our youth and recreation.
Requiring the annexation generates the revenue needed to keep up with the growth because of the annexation.
Yeah.
Okay. And now sewer too. Right.
Sewer is not a part of that. Sewer, it's just the water system that the city council passed that ordinance on. Might be that there's been some moratoriums in the past.
Yeah.
At this time, there is some type of limitation with sewer. I'm not the expert, so I don't want to go look at the way the ordinance is written. It's not a moratorium. It's in certain areas they're doing an evaluation of the system as a whole, and there's a limitation on certain availability letters for big developments.
Okay.
In certain areas outside the city limits until we get that capacity study complete.
Okay. All right. So what are some big things? I know you often address the city council in work sessions to explain those 50 pages that go along with the agenda, or you may address the planning commission or even the Board of Adjustments, because at the Board of Adjustments, someone has to supposedly have a hardship
right,
in order to build the entire lot instead of having a yard.
right.
Don't get me started on that.
Right.
So let's go back to some of the bigger projects that you're looking at now. You mentioned before we started at Fairhope Avenue and 181 something called Park City.
Yes. We did have a meeting this past Monday. It was actually a very light agenda for us. There was an informal review, which means we did not have a full application, have a 50-page staff report. It's just an opportunity for a developer or engineer design team to present some ideas to the planning commission and get some feedback before they submit an application. This is the same property, I believe it's about 79 acres, that the city, even before I started a little over 5 years ago, the city adopted you've heard us talk about a PUD, a planned unit development, known as the Clump PUD. And if you're familiar, this is the land where the airstrip was in between Fairhope and Gayfer on the western side of 181. So there was a plan presented Monday night to amend the current PUD or put a new one over it.
That passed Aldi's? Is that where we're talking?
It is. It's on this side of 181. So
Okay.
Yeah, there were some storage units on it, and there was an old air, dirt runway on that land. The currently approved PUD and preliminary plat, it made it all the way through to a preliminary plat. I don't quote me on the numbers, but somewhere around 244, 235 of townhome duplexes, and then there was out parcels for commercial development. And that went through three revisions to the PUD and finally a preliminary plat. Well, someone else has purchased it and exploring another option. It's a lot more units. And again, it was a very informal conversation, so we don't have a lot of
they're just testing the waters to see what they think they can proceed with before they spend the time to write it all up and try to meet all the ordinances.
Exactly. So, and of course, we speak at the staff level a little bit more. Now, there's pros and cons to everything. The pro to that type of development, which has happened has been happening for a long time, it actually meets some goals that we've adopted long ago. You've heard the village concept.
Yeah.
You know, that's
been
long ago.
I've been to the
meetings,
yeah.
Okay. So there were three zoning districts to accommodate growth in that village district sort of way. And I believe they were adopted in 2005. So we're 19 years in. No one has ever used those zoning districts. A lot of it out there has been unzoned. They didn't have to. So with zoning around everywhere now, they're at least right now, they're using some of those concepts. The pros, it puts a lot more density in one location. And that's a good thing. Walkability, some good planning concepts. The other pro is it concentrates the density in certain locations so you can better manage traffic. Instead of, apartments being strewn all over town and you're getting those traffic surges on low residential roads, it's focused on at the intersection of two main roads and highways, you know. But as we go through the reviews, we'll be looking at each component in detail and really seeing what our recommendations are. And then the Planning Commission ultimately would make a recommendation if we actually get the application to the City Council, and the City Council will decide, you know, whether it meets our long-range plans and it's a benefit to the city.
What about the big apartment complex? It's what the Encounter property, the Close Encounter house, and that part of that's annexed and part is not. Is that correct?
So there's
and
a few different
properties. And that's out at
104, 181, and there's two different ones. So the Encounter property is adjacently on the northeast corner. It is at the moment all commercial. That's the one you really see a lot of dirt being moved down and roads being put in. Their next step will be to get a final plat that will create
Everybody's
lots.
Really noticing the apartments, though.
The apartments are just to the north of that.
Okay.
That is known as Rockwell.
Okay.
There is the final plat should be coming soon. The developer's intent is to annex the property adjacent to 181 into the city limits, but keep the apartments out. That we don't get to control that. You know, this is kind of one of the reasons, you know, the ordinance of you annex in before
you
get
the water.
Yeah,
because they were already in place.
When that was approved, that was unzoned. You know, we didn't have that ordinance. So they didn't, but that is the, you see, they're not having the impact fees. Also, they're not annexing in. So the long range, that can be a problem for a city because everything from the property taxes, those also sustain. Impact fees are kind of a one-time use to help the impact of the growth. But the property taxes sustain the budget to manage all the things that go along with that. 250 apartment units are going to bring that many more people into our schools, our parks, our, you know, roads, everything else. So, but you're not getting the property tax from them. And us as taxpayers of the city of Fair Oaks supplement those things for those developments right outside the city. So,
sure.
But the intent there, I believe there is 10 acres that they do want to annex in that would probably, at least the request right now, is to bring that as commercial, as that's fronting the 181 side.
And that's kind of the village concept too, isn't it? With the commercial and then the residential included?
Commercial's good. It's the right place for commercial. There's a difference between, I think, what we call traditional strip development and village concept. Mm-hmm. So, and you've been around long enough, you know, kind of the lot of the things that have happened on Greeno Road. I think a phenomenal, I believe it started in 1984, you know, and it was a partnership with people from Fairhope, the county, Daphne, but to the Green or 90 Highway 98 corridor, you know, with the goals. So it does not look like they used Airport Boulevard, but right. as one example, but a typical commercial strip. So, you know, what the focus was is reducing the signage, putting the trees out front, mm-hmm. and really, I mean, next time you drive north, look at what a difference that is from your traditional. Go to 59, go to Airport Boulevard, your right. traditional commercial strips. So there's some concepts there. When you just have the out parcel and here's a restaurant, you know, and you drive into that restaurant, you drive around. The village concept is a little bit more connectivity. You know, instead of driving into one business and back out, you know, that business is connected to others. So people can get out of their car and get to multiples. Now, that property is on B2, so we haven't seen any proposals on the actual developments yet okay. for any of the commercial.
You also mentioned apartments next to the Publix at Battles Road.
That's right. We do have next month, we have a few items on the agenda, and kind of the process is we get an application in. We spend about 5 weeks reviewing it, putting those 50-page staff reports together before the meeting. So we're very early in the reviews of that, but there is a proposed apartments just north of this. We've got three Publix now. We're lovingly calling the North, South, and West Publix. So this will be the South Publix down at Greeno Road. It's just to the north. You know, there's pros and cons to everything. Nobody wants to see growth at all.
How many apartments?
I don't know. We haven't got into the, you know, that the real reviews. We just got the okay. applications in. Right. But it has components of a village as well.
Okay.
So, you know, kind of the first iteration we saw of the plan, it was just apartments, nothing else, and we really have tried to work with the developer to get, so there's a commercial component, it really connects with the Publix development, offers some interesting park layouts. You know, it's pros and cons. If we're going to grow, that's the way I would recommend we grow. I know some people just want to stop it all.
Exactly.
And I understand that sentiment mm-hmm. As well. But if we're going to grow, I would like it to be in the right right places, and let's at least do it responsibly.
There you go. And okay. we're speaking with Hunter Simmons, planning director of the city of Fairhope. What else is going on that we might want to know about? I mean, I know that the Starbucks is being built, but that's now through your department. And on to the building officials, correct?
We like I said before, we don't get to separate ourselves completely.
Well, that's a good thing,
right? Right. We you know, one of the other things we do in our department, we have some code enforcement that is always managing with BMP, best management practices for, you know, as you see a lot of drive around construction sites, they have to kind of tear up the site to build. I mean, that's kind of part of building. You know, we call it site work. You know, moving dirt, building roads, drives, parking areas. Well, that can expose a lot of loose soil, and we get heavy rains here. So the BMPs are what keeps those things on the site. And our code enforcement manages those things. I mean, one of the busiest days we have is with a big heavy rain.
Mm-hmm.
You're having to go check job sites and making sure that BMPs are up, nobody's in violation. So that's one of the main things we'll do, and then we'll kind of check with it through the project, make sure the permits are meeting what we've approved, and then at the end kind of make once more check that out.
What are we doing here at Magnolia and Church, right around the corner from us?
So that is and that has been approved through the Board of Adjustment, the Planning Commission, as well as the City Council. That is known as Baton, is the name given. It's a little different from a previous approval, so I want to be clear. There was a previous approval that was a kind of a bigger building, bigger massing building. There are 7 buildings. I believe that's right. 7 buildings and 9 units. So the 2 buildings facing Magnolia will have a commercial on the downstairs and residential above, and then the other 5 buildings will all be residential. One of the things I really appreciated about that development is the care that was given to the existing trees on that site. There's some really nice live oaks, some not in the best of health, but they really designed to try to preserve all the trees. They've got arborists out there. You know, you've seen the old house was torn down, but the reason they're not jumping right into the construction, they've given enough time. They've had an arborist in. They've been, don't ask me what kind, but they've been giving those trees the right nutrients to prepare them for the shock of construction.
How about that? Well, that's good to know.
So that I really appreciate that level of care in a development.
What else is in the works?
So we do have, and we've talked about this a few times, it's kind of hit some stalemates, and we're in one challenging air right now, but we do have the comp plan coming this year that will be don't have dates for you yet.
The comprehensive plan,
which is, we didn't talk about this before, but one of the main things, even before we required in state and all over the country, one of the things before you can have a planning commission and a zoning ordinance and subdivision regulations, you have to have a long-range plan. That's mandated by our state laws. So, and you have to update that long-range plan, so that we are working on that. It's been an unusual process, because it's kind of like Lucy moving the football. You know, we get about 6 months in, and there's a state law that passes that kind of changes the jurisdictions. You've heard us talk about,
right?
Or, you know, now the properties adjacent to us are zone where they haven't been in 100 years. So, but we're getting close to that being publicly presented. We did present a draft, but kind of went back to the drawing board with some of the thoughts we or comments we heard. So that, I would say, that would be in front of, the first time we'll see that publicly is probably at a work session at the planning commission. At the city council. And I would, June, July is kind of our target for that, but we don't have a date set yet. But that is going to be, that's a big one coming up that we'll certainly want to make sure people are watching out for.
Okay.
And we'll publicize that pretty well. We obviously hire some contract folks to help us. That was one of the restore projects, and they were very overwhelmed with all the public meetings we had. Usually there's 2 or 3 public meetings. I think we had 38.
It's time for that again.
Oh, no, we're not going to do all the public. Okay. We've already worked our way through the public meetings.
Okay.
So this is actually the adoption of what we worked out.
I see. Okay. Okay.
So, is where we're trying to get to. So should be by July. We will have that publicly available, and then have it in front of the Planning Commission to adopt before October is our goal.
This may or may not be your department, but the K-1 Center, what's the latest there?
Not my department, okay. And really not, I kind of know, but a little bit, but not, I'm not in those specific work groups, so I'd rather not speculate.
Got it, okay. Anything else you want to mention that folks may ask you about or call your department or feedback you hear?
Yes. Some of the common questions we get are easily, found. We do have a website. We're the city's working on a new website to make things easier. So I do admit you got to click a couple times to find things. But we have a zoning map, that tells you what the zoning is. One of the biggest problems we're having right now is people buying houses in residential neighborhoods and invest as investment properties and wanting to use those as short-term rentals, or the VRBOs and the
Airbnbs. Yeah.
That is a problem. They buy it and then realize
they're not zoned for it.
Not zoned for that. That's,
yeah. What is it? Are only the ones zoned for it a central business district, and what else?
So there's the commercial districts, excluding B4. And there's a list. I don't want to leave any out, but it's in general, it's the commercial districts, which are spread throughout town, B2, B1, B3B, B3A, Those are the tourist resort districts. And then anything within the central business district is allowed.
So the traditional R2 is not.
It is not.
Now, I looked into that one time, and the ordinance that I read said that you could rent your house over 29 days or over 30 days. It had to be a long-term, not a short-term, right?
So there's a distinction, and we're going to clarify this because it's just confusing to folks. A short-term rental in the zoning ordinance means you cannot rent a place more than once every 30 days. The state allows us to collect lodging taxes for anything that is 6 months or less. So what we mean by short-term rental is it is not in a pool where you're renting it out every weekend or once or twice a week, things like that. But if you have a house, you can rent it out for 5 months, you know, at a time.
Or 2 months. Or 2 months.
Yeah.
Or 31 days.
Or 31 days.
But what about, I have seen people interpret that law as, hey, I can do an Airbnb once a month because it says I can rent once a month.
And we're getting into semantics a little bit then. Just because it's on Airbnb doesn't mean it's a short-term rental. As long as they're not renting it more than once every 30 days, that short-term rental is, by our definition in the zoning ordinance, they're not a short-term rental. If they're because it's posted on a website somewhere, that has nothing to do with our zoning.
But your zoning says you can rent it once in 30 days.
It says you cannot rent it more than once every 30 days. Okay. It doesn't encourage you to go rent it once every 30 days, but it's that's where the, you know, you're kind of looking at the inverse of what the intent of the way it was written. So that's where we probably do need some clarification, because it's a policing problem.
So that's not intended. That verbiage doesn't mean you can rent your house once every 30 days.
It sets the limit. So with a short-term rental, it sets the limit of, you know, this is how we define a short-term rental. If it is less, if you're doing it more than once every 30 days. And what a lot of people will do is say, okay, we're going to rent it once, one weekend.
Arts
and crafts. One weekend a month. And we'll stretch the rate out, you know, where it's $10 a day instead of $200 a night. And where they get in trouble is if they do it through more weekends. And that's where it's a challenge. So
sounds like that needs to be rewritten. It's
an enforcement of the things, because and I think that has been, from our council mayor, one of the big things to push for. They approved a new code enforcement officer that will work for revenue that's being hired now soon, and we are looking at some zoning changes for that would clarify that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Wow, lots to cover with City Planning Director Hunter Simmons, and we could probably still go on, but we're out of time. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And we'll see you on YouTube as you address the Council and the Planning Commission at their regular meetings.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you. And if you missed part of this interview or you want to tell a friend, we will.